Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be taken from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Let us have a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you once again for this gathering, Lord, here on this amazing Sunday, Lord, just to be able to freely worship you and to cry out your name. We throw ourselves at your feet, Lord, and having that humility in front of you, Lord, as you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.
They usually, or people usually ask me, "Oh, you're a Baptist, eh?" And I tell them, "Well, I'm a Christian." "Oh, I know, but you are a Baptist." "Well, you know, I have a tough time in saying that I'm a Baptist because I'm not a Baptist, even though I have baptized more than 270 some people in the history of this church. And yet, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer who is a follower of Jesus Christ. I did not know what Baptists were in Greece, where I was born. I accepted the Lord when I was 12 years old. And at the age of about 14, 15, I was going to a Greek evangelical church, although my church was the Armenian Evangelical Church, and I would go there Sunday mornings to the Armenian Evangelical Church and then go to the Greek Evangelical Church. There was a difference between the two. Yes, the language was different. And yet, there was something else also. What I had noticed was that the Armenian Evangelical Church, where my father was a deacon, would baptize little babies, and the Greek Evangelical Church would baptize adults. And I was saying, why is this different? Well, the Armenian Evangelical Church had come from something like Presbyterian background, not exactly. And the Greek Evangelical Church came from the Free Evangelical Church, which was different than the Presbyterian. And all that became very confusing to me. My parents had baptized me when I was a little baby, and they had done that in, well, they were believers, born again believers, and they felt good because they had baptized me, and now I was a Christian. That was the tradition of the church. And as I said, at the age of 14, I realized that I did need to be baptized now as a believer. That didn't make me a Baptist because I didn't know that there was a church called Baptist Church. So I was 14, 15, almost 15, when I and another 14 other young men and women went to the Mediterranean Sea where I was baptized as a young believer. Now, my parents did not necessarily say no, and yet they didn't say that's a great idea either. My parents thought that I was already baptized and I didn't need to do it. I'm saying all this before I come to the subject, because I just want to clarify one thing. I'm not here this morning as a Baptist pastor preaching about
about to preach about baptism because that's what the church requires. And because to be a good Christian, you have to be a Baptist or at least be baptized. All that we'll deal with in a few minutes. But I'm saying all this to let you know that there is a large number. There are many churches who will be practicing one kind of baptism and others will be practicing a different kind of baptism. And I would rather stick to the Bible, and I would rather take the word of the Bible than my parents or grandparents or my tradition or my nationality's tradition. To make a very long story short, when I was about to get engaged, my wife said, you know what, I am convinced to be baptized too, because her background was exactly like mine, the same kind of a church. And then she wanted to be baptized, and my parents, who had said, you don't really need it, agreed to be baptized with my wife. And in that baptistry, I saw my parents and my wife be baptized. Then my sister, Steve's, my nephew's mother, was baptized right here. Why am I saying all this? Because I want us to look at baptism as something biblical and not something traditional or something that comes out of some kind of a denominational background or culture. We just read this morning from Matthew chapter 3. Jesus walked approximately 60 miles from Galilee to the lower Jordan River to be baptized by John. This indicates the importance he attached to this act, and it should also indicate the significance of baptism to his followers today. Realizing that Jesus had no sins of which to repent, John protested against baptizing him. John the Baptist was preaching a message that said, turn away from your sinful ways, confess your sins, and repent and be baptized. Okay, that sounded good. People did have sins, and many of them did recognize that they were sinful, and many of them were willing to confess their sins and be baptized. But why Jesus? Why would Jesus want to be baptized? He is God. He knew he was God. He is God. John had realized, had understood that he was the Messiah. And he realized that he had no sins. And so John the Baptist says, you want me to baptize you? Actually, you should baptize me because I am a sinner. I was born in sin and I really have repented from my sin. And who better to baptize me than you, Jesus? Now, Jesus knew that he had no sins. Jesus did not deny this, that he had no sins. He simply repeated his request for baptism as a fitting way in which to fulfill all righteousness. But there was an even deeper meaning. Baptism for him was an act symbolizing the way in which he would fulfill all righteousness claims against man's sins. His immersion, being dipped into the water, typified his baptism in the waters of God's judgment and Calvary, his death and burial. His emergence, coming out of the water, from the water, foreshadowed his resurrection. By his death, burial, and resurrection, he would satisfy the demands of a divine justice and provide a righteous basis by which sinners could be justified. Baptism is an act with spiritual meaning. It is a symbol of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, our entrance into the water during baptism identifies us with Christ's death on the cross. His burial in the tomb and his resurrection from the dead. In other words, baptism is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is not a mechanism by which a pagan becomes a Christian. And people have said, well, no, we are Christians, we are Greek Orthodox, Armenian Apostolic Church, or Catholics, and we have been baptized, we have become Christians when we were christened or baptized as little babies, and now we are Christians. Well, actually, the Bible never says anywhere that there is such a mechanism by which you can be baptized or sprinkled or dipped into water and then you come out a Christian. Because, to start with, a little baby of few months old has no idea, doesn't even know where God is or what God is or whether he doesn't understand anything. And it's good for the parents. I agree that it is a good act of recognizing that there is God. It is a good act, or at least faith, that God exists, and to they want to bring their child into the Christian family. And I agree that that is wonderful. And that is why I believe evangelical believers, at least most or some, will dedicate babies, which is exactly that. The parents dedicate themselves to God and promise to God to look after this baby and make sure that this baby is brought to church, that it's prayed over, that we teach the baby, and we are a good example as parents for the while this child is growing. So, having said that, there is a very important thing that we should not forget: Jesus Himself, being God, knew all this. And he could have said nothing, and no one would have blamed Jesus for not being baptized. No one would have said, well, everybody would have said, look, everybody else is expected to be baptized, why not you? Because they knew, at least those who believed in Jesus, knew that he was the Messiah, he was the Son of God, he was holy, he was not a pagan, as some people say. Baptism is only for pagans because they want to turn from paganism into Christianity. Baptism is for the believers. Baptism is for the Christian believer. First, I said, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death, then, the death to sin and resurrection to a new life of the believer. It is such a wonderful experience to go through while you are saying to yourself, in front of everybody else, that now you have died for in. When it comes to sins, you are dead to sin, and you are being resurrected a brand new person. Does that mean that you become a holy person? No, it does not. As a matter of fact, that reminds me when some years ago, a group of men came to be baptized, and I was interviewing them all. And one of the men came to me and said, I said, why do you want to be baptized? And he said, well, Pastor, I drink a lot. I do this, I do that, I don't live a good life. I said, okay. And he said, I want to be baptized so all that will go away and I'll become a new believer. And I said, no, don't do it, because you will become a worse believer, because all that stuff is going to be still there. This water does not purify the heart. What this water is only a symbol of the purified heart. Already, the inward change that has taken place now is being manifested or reflected in the act of baptism. Third, the washing of regeneration. Now, the water in that baptistry is not really the best possible pure water. It's tap water and does not purify the heart, does not even purify or clean the body. You have to go home and have a shower. So, I mean, it's not the water itself, but it's the Holy Spirit's presence. It's the obedience that you are now saying to the... baptism is the silent testimony that speaks louder than your own verbal testimony. Because a verbal testimony is a testimony that you can make up or say, or say it now and then go home and live a different life. But to come to the point in your life to say, I want to assure the people that I really mean what I say when I say, I have been born again and I am a new creation now, and this is what happened. My old self died and a brand new person has been resurrected. Does that new person is holy? Without sin, no. We need to deal with sin daily, hourly, every time. And that is why Jesus taught us to say, when he was teaching us how to pray, teaching his disciples how to pray, he said, daily when you pray, ask for these things or say these things. And also, he said, and forgive us our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. That means, my prayers won't even be answered unless I forgive my wife if she has hurt my feelings, or my friend, or my enemy. That means that I have to be willing to forgive so I can be forgiven. Then it symbolizes the changes that have already taken place in the life of the believer and the resurrection from the dead of all true believers. Now, finally, it also is a sign, as symbolically saying that the way that I'm being lowered into the water and disappear to the naked eye, and then I reappear, that's how it's going to be after death. You may lose your parents, or when I say lose, they may die, and yet, spiritually speaking, these people are dying and being buried as far as their body is concerned, but now being resurrected, a new person in the presence of God. Baptism is an act of obedience. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, we read, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, there is something that we must be careful here. It says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. There are situations, there are people who have believed, who are born again believers, but are not baptized yet. Does that mean that we send them to hell or God? No, not at all. The man on the cross, when he accepted the Lord, he died without being baptized. And I know there are thousands, if many, many Christians who have been born again and have not yet been through the waters of baptism because of their traditions, because of the situation where they are, because for me, and that does not deprive them from entering into the kingdom of God if they really are born again. But baptism is like communion. It doesn't mean that if you don't take communion you go to hell, or because if you didn't take communion you are not born again believer. No, but it means is an act of obedience. That means that you want to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ with the communion. Baptism also symbolizes almost the same thing. You are in obedience and in following the example of Jesus Christ. If your Lord and Savior, who is God, went through the waters of baptism, and he said to John, "John, I understand what you're saying, and yet I want to be baptized by you. Why wouldn't I, for example, do it?" This is an ordinance of Jesus established and given to all those who come to him in faith for salvation. In an act of obedience, we follow Christ's example. Baptism does not make you a believer, but it is an outward and visible sign that you are a believer, and it is the sign of the inward spiritual change. Someone may say, "Well, why? Are you preaching this because you want everybody to be baptized?" Well, actually, I hope and pray that everyone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to his command is baptized. But no, I've been asked by some to explain to them what baptism is. Is it necessary? And I believe I haven't done this for a long time, and this is another occasion that we are looking at the question of baptism. Baptism is a public confession and proclamation of your commitment to follow Christ and faithfully serve him. Now, there's such a thing in Canada that when we become citizens of Canada, there are occasions where they all go before a judge and they sit, and there's a sort of a ceremony to become members of the Canadian society. There's such a thing also as when we get married, or at least those of you who were married, or you went before a pastor, a priest, someone, and declared your commitment to your wife or husband, and there was a ceremony, and there were people there, and you made your vows before other men and women. Why do we do that? Why can't we do it like in the older days, just go and visit the family of your spouse-to-be and offer them a gift, and then that's it? Well, we're doing it now to make sure that everyone knows that you are married now, and we want to proclaim and tell everyone, "I am marrying this good-looking man or this beautiful woman," and now we're rejoicing and we are celebrating. And I believe there is, in a sense, the same feeling when you are, when you become a born-again believer. You say, "I'm a born-again believer. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Protestant. I'm not a Catholic. You can call me anything. No, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a born-again believer. I made a commitment to him, and here I want to make this public. And I will show you that I really mean it, and symbolically die to the old person and be resurrected as a new follower of Jesus Christ." Just before he returned to heaven, Jesus said to his followers, and I'm quoting Jesus on Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Now, Jesus said, "And teach them to obey everything I taught them." Well, now the churches have a list of things that are very important. It's very important to do this. It's very important to do that. And if you are a Baptist, you do these things. If you are a Presbyterian, you do these things. If you are a Pentecostal, these are the important things. And if you are a Catholic, these are the important things. And we all have this list of things that we like and we are willing to accept. And there is another list that we really don't look at all. But Jesus said, that we should, as believers, obey him and obey everything he has taught us. The list is not that long. As a matter of fact, I believe one word describes his command. He said, be holy as I am holy. You can't be a follower of Christ and cheat. You can't be a follower of Christ and commit adultery, fornication. You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and gossip. You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and complain all the time. Although we do many of these things daily, and we have changed the names of gossiping, we call it now sharing. Adultery, we call it, just a relationship. Lying, we call it just stretching a little bit the truth. And so, but Jesus said, do everything I command you. He also said, if you love me, you'll obey everything I have commanded you. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Apostle Paul said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, verse 41, we read, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Going to church does not make anyone a Christian, but a Christian goes to church because that is the right thing to do. Similarly, baptism does not make anyone a Christian, but a true believer should be baptized because Jesus said so. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us the book of life. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to continue our journey, spiritual journey on this earth. Lord, I believe you have spoken to each one of us. If I have said something that was not exactly according to your will, please erase it from our mind. But I believe you have spoken to each one of us. Help us to understand the message and put into practice what we have learned. In your blessed name I pray, amen.